Before we start, I want you guys to just take a look around the room and see whom we've gathered with. Is that the right word? Whom? Whom we've gathered with. Just take a look around. See who's here tonight. It's the night before Thanksgiving, a very busy holiday. Families coming and going. Several churches in our area actually canceled their midweek service. And I believe with a sincere heart to accommodate travel and preparation for tomorrow. How many of you guys knew that we were doing a series on serving? Awesome. Awesome. So with understanding for those that couldn't be here for a variety of reasons, we've announced this for a couple of weeks. We've encouraged people, if you don't normally attend Wednesday evenings, to try to attend these next two. It may expand into three. The Lord has shared some things with me that I want to share with you. So, knowing others, I don't want you to look around and see who's not here and judge. Assume goodwill. Give the benefit of the doubt to our brothers and sisters. But I want you to look around and see who is here. And I want you to be seen as being here as well. As I began preparation for this study, what I didn't want to do is preach to the choir. You know, give a service on serving, and I'm looking at all the servants and the rest of the congregation. I know several here among us are serving already, or maybe you did in the past and you're not right now. Maybe you've served in the past to the extent that you were burned out, or some of you guys may be feeling that way right now in your service. Those of you that are serving or have served in the past have done so when you were weary. And several of you have served in the past and felt like you were the only one doing it, or more fairly, probably one of very few. The harvest is great, the workers are few, but the labor often seems to be way too much. Too great. So I wanted to take a minute just for you guys to see who's here, who showed up for a series on serving, who has an interest, who has a willingness or desire to find their fit if they're not currently serving. There's all kinds of reasons why people don't serve in the church. Some of those reasons are pretty obvious. The condition of your life can make you unavailable to God. Unconfessed or unrepentant sin can keep us from serving God. It can also keep us joyless. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. If you're mistreating your family or mistreating yourself in sinful ways, then you're not somebody that God can currently use in service of the church. If you're puffed up with pride or resistant to God, then that's kind of where you'll stay for a while. But sometimes it's more than that. Sometimes we assume when somebody isn't serving that it's some of those things, but oftentimes it's just not knowing how or not knowing where to begin. Some folks are actually shy. Some are very humble and don't feel that they're worthy to serve. Some struggle with commitment or competition of their time as it's filled up with other things. And many of us just really don't know what it is that we have to offer. You know, when you hear over and over again, we want you to serve, well, I'm not good with kids, and there's no way I'm getting in front of people, and I can't sing like the golden-throated Jim, you know? So what else am I going to do? Right. The Brian Adams of worship music, right. Let me set you at ease. God is much more concerned about your availability than he is your ability or inability. Are you willing to be used? I know when I stepped out in different ways because I was willing, I always found a place to serve. And the more I served, the more I grew, the more my relationships grew, and the more the opportunities to serve grew. So I want to commend all of you guys for showing up tonight. those that have been serving, and maybe have felt like you're alone or one of the few, look around. You're not alone. There's a lot of people here that have a heart to serve. That's why they're here. That's why we're all here tonight. So with that, I want to begin tonight with a section of scripture from the book of Philippians. And there's a bunch of different verses. If you want to flip to them, Philippians, if you want to flip to Philippians, you can, or you can look at the screens tonight. Our primary text is going to be in 2 Kings chapter 3. But Philippians chapter 1 starts out like this. Paul, writing to the church in Philippi, says, Paul and Timothy, bondservants or servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, he says to this church. And I begin with that tonight because that really is my heart towards you guys. When I think about the men and the women and the boys and girls that serve here at Old Town Christian Fellowship, I do thank God for you. I wish I could say, as Paul does, when I think of this church, I thank God every time I think of this church. And I'm not there yet, you know, and I pray as the Lord continues his work in me that I'll get to that point regardless of circumstances, regardless of what's going on. But to you guys that serve alongside us, I do thank God and I do praise God, not just for the help, but that you have really become a part of our family and our close friends, and you're a bigger blessing than you guys really know. And there's another cool thing about tonight as we recognize things that we're thankful for. The people in this room are both the ones that are serving and you're serving, and they're also the ones that serve all of us, that provide security, that clean the place, that print bulletins, teach our children, shovel snow, cut grass, serve you coffee, or better yet, hot chocolate with a shot of peppermint. This is our church, those that serve together. So before we share communion together, would you guys take a second and thank somebody for what they do? Or even just caring enough to show up tonight and to be a part of this. The night before Thanksgiving. That they showed up, maybe that they just came to see where they'd fit, came to see where there's a vital need that they can fill. In John chapter 6, starting in the 47th verse, Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. And I want to read that before we share communion, because that is the deal. Communion is for believers. And if you came in tonight and you're not a believer, believe, confess, ask him to save you, ask him to cleanse you of your sins. And it's for you. It's available to you. We're also told in Corinthians, when he talks about this, when we gather together, to not hog everything, you know, to not consider others, but how we gather. There's a way that we should do that. We're told to examine ourselves so that we're not taking communion in an unworthy manner, that we won't be judged. So Jesus says in this section in John, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. Eternal life. I'm the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Life is available in Jesus. This is what I'm most thankful for as we approach tomorrow and we celebrate Thanksgiving as a nation. This, that he gave his life so that we could live. He gave his life so that we could be free. It's what binds us together as a family. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? And that's what we'll partake in together tonight. The bread that we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. And guys, that's the deal. When we partake of communion, we remember. We remember the sacrifice of the Lord. We remember that he shed his blood so that we could be cleansed. And we remember that he defeated death. But we commune with each other when we partake of it together. One bread, one body. We commune with believers of the past. We commune with believers of the future. So I know we haven't done it like this before, but would you join me up here and grab a cup and grab some bread so we can share it together, and we'll get into our teaching. If you take a long time, I'm going to just add it on to the end. So, you can stay right up here. We'll take it together like we're a family. Like we like each other. And if you don't like each other, you're commanded to love each other anyways. That's why you're not up front, buddy. Guys, we live in a world that is riddled with substance abuse and you know, I think we understand that. We see that, and people don't want to feel, and they drink and drug, and we live in a community that's plagued by it. But don't think that that's the extent of it. When we look at the lives around us, people do all kinds of things besides drugs to forget. They're just, everybody's so busy, right? And that's a form of not having to feel, not having to think, not having to consider these things. Busyness, drama. I don't want to binge watching stuff. Is all things to take away from this moment. I spent last night and today with some people in law enforcement that were really, really struggling because of the things that they deal with. And you guys know that that's a high population of suicide. One of the best things that happens to people, sometimes they get thrown in jail. And when they're there, life gets put on hold. And all you have to look at is cement blocks. And at night, you consider these things. We have something this world needs. And I don't know what your plans are for tomorrow, who you're gathering with, but you have something that's vital to this world. Not just in your salvation, but a family. You know, the opportunity and the blessing to serve that we'll talk about. But let's pray and thank the Lord for these, and we'll share it, communing together. Oh, Father, I thank you, Lord, that it's because of your Son's death on the cross, it's because of his resurrection, that we can be free. Lord, that we can have joy, that we can have peace, that we can be clean, forgiven. Lord, that's just amazing. Lord, help us never to forget, to never not be grateful, to never take that for granted. And Lord, that's why you tell us to do this, to remember, that we wouldn't forget. You instruct us to do it together. So Lord, we thank you for the cup representing your blood that was shed to cleanse us from our sin. And Lord, we thank you for the bread that represents your body, broken, pierced for us on our behalf, to pay a price that we could never pay, that we can be free and live eternally with you and together. We thank you for these things, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's eat together. You getting that on the ambient speakers? The crunch? Let's drink together. I'll put your cups right here. It'll make it easy to collect. Okay. Will you open your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 3? How many of you came on a Wednesday night that don't normally come on a Wednesday night because you were thinking, he's not going to be in the Old Testament tonight? So we'll go. There's just too much good stuff there. 2 Kings chapter 3. We open up to a battle scene here in 2 Kings chapter 3. King Jehoram was the king of Israel, and King Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah. They formed an alliance to fight the enemy, and it was a good fight. King Moab had rebelled against the king of Jerusalem, so he locked arms, served alongside with the king of Judah to fight the enemy. Paul talks about that fight, a good fight. I want you to know that we are in a good fight. Paul, when he wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, he says, "But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness." Those are the things we're supposed to go after. And then says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." Paul tells us to fight the good fight. This battle that we're in, we're to do it together, even though it's tough. It is a good fight that we're in. It's not a bad fight. In 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 9, just to kind of paint a picture of what's going on, it says, "So the king of Israel went with the king of Judah and the king of Edom, and they marched on that roundabout route 7 days, and there was no water for the army, nor for the animals that followed them. And the king of Israel said, 'Alas, alas, whatever, for the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab.'" Actually, I like the New Living Translation a lot more of verse 10. That actually says, "What should we do? What should we do?" the king of Israel cried out. "The Lord has brought the three of us here to let the king of Moab defeat us." What should we do? That may be you when you consider service, or that may be you in weariness in your service, weariness of heart, or drought. That was the problem here, right? They didn't have water. They were in a season of drought, tired. Maybe you're tired in your service due to difficulty of the fight, because serving is actually work. It's hard work, and it's filled with difficulty and sometimes pain. Sometimes it's inconvenient. In Galatians 6:9, We're told, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So what do we know from that? That doing good can result in weariness. There's labor involved in serving people. It can be hard, tiring work. Work to the point of exhaustion. For the record, that is not our goal here. Okay, we're not trying to see how hard we can push you until you finally tap out or get so frustrated that you want to quit or get burned out, get weary. But I think there is a point where if we are serving God correctly, there are times of weariness. And it may not be because you're here till midnight cleaning up, or the pastor goes long and you've got an extra 4 minutes in Sunday school, or 7, 10. But if you're serving and you're loving this body that God's called you to be a part of, you may labor all night long in prayer for somebody that he puts on your heart. And you may legitimately be weary from that when you get up the next morning and you haven't slept because God has laid it on your heart to do this. And that's not my fault. And it's not the people that you serve under or serve with's fault. It's just weariness from being in the fight. Maybe you've gotten to the point in the past where you've felt unappreciated or burned out again, or you've begun to question things or think things like it's just this ministry, this particular area that I'm in, or maybe it's this church or the pastor. The pastor doesn't understand what it's like to be under this person that I'm under, serving in this area. Another question to add to that mix is you're asking yourself those things is, am I weary just because I've chosen to do good? Just because I've engaged in a fight, in a good fight. You've stepped into a battle, like the Bible says, and you're fighting a good fight. From that verse in Galatians, let us not grow weary while doing good. We know that weariness grows over time, or can. So the more that you're serving God, the more likely it is that you could become weary in that service. But weariness is tied to good. It doesn't have to be a bad thing that we're doing. Weariness is tied to good. So it happens. It's hard work. Weariness grows in different seasons. It says, for in due season we shall reap. That means if there's seasons of it, there's seasons we won't be weary. There will be seasons of rest and seasons of reward. In due season, we shall reap. We are like the farmers that plant the crops. You know, we don't always get to see the harvest. Sometimes it's just a lot of fertilizer that we're dealing with. Weariness is a friend of losing heart, a companion of losing heart. Sometimes feeling defeated. But it doesn't have to be. Ministry and difficulties do go hand in hand because people are difficult. Anybody ever notice that? Just me. Well, you should be praying for me more. People are difficult. It's actually easier to please God than it is to please man. And that is one of the biggest pitfalls or traps we can fall into in service is becoming a man pleaser. Scripturally, it would be referred to as the fear of man, trying to win the approval of man rather than the approval of God, or serving man rather than serving God by serving man. Do you understand the difference? that we're trying, nobody here should be serving me, or nobody here should be serving the church, or whatever ministry they're under. They should, everything that we should do, we should be serving Jesus, serving God. And sometimes, actually, if we look at 2 Kings, let's go back down through this. Alas, what's that other version? What should we do? For the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. Verse 11, but Jehoshaphat said, there's no prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of the Lord by him. So one of the servants of the king of Israel answered and said, Elisha, the son of Shaphat, is here, who poured water on the hands of Elijah. And Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. So they sought out a man of God. Then Elijah said to the king of Israel, verse 13, what have I to do with you? Go to the prophets of your father and the prophets of your mother. Imagine that reaction, right? He's fighting a good fight, right? And he's locked arms with the king of Judah. And this man of God comes and he says, what have I to do with you? Go somewhere else for help. Have you ever not received a response that you wanted to from someone in the church? Someone you're actually serving under? Ever been treated like a servant? I'm not excusing that, but I think sometimes we jump and assume that when we don't receive the response that we want, that God's not using that person. God very well could be using that person in our life. And this is not a license. I believe he's being sarcastic here with him. I believe this is a test. And it's not always appropriate for us to do this, but what shall I have to do with you? Go to the prophets of your father and the prophets of your mother. But the king of Israel said to him, no, for the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. And Elisha says, as the Lord of hosts lives, verse 14, before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I would not look at you nor see you. It's not for your sake that I'm doing this, because of that guy you teamed up with. Certainly not the response he wanted. But God is using him. So he calls for a musician, verse 15, but now bring me a musician. Elijah wanted to hear from the Lord. He wanted music to make him more sensitive to the leading and the voice of the Holy Spirit. It says, then it happened when the musician played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. How many of you guys have experienced that? I mean, we come and we want to hear the teaching of the word and we want to talk about it and discuss it, but I can't tell you the number of times that during the worship, when we gather together corporately and we are praising God, that either the words of the songs or something that the Holy Spirit lays on Jim's heart and he prays a certain prayer that God is speaking to me, or he just gives comment and the Holy Spirit moves and he speaks to me. A lot of times as I'm sitting up here during worship, I pull out my pen and I got to write down a verse because I got to share that with you guys. So he calls for this musician, and the hand of the Lord came upon him. Verse 16, and he said, thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain, yet that the valley shall be filled with water, so that you, your cattle, and your animals may drink. How's that? We're being attacked. I'm going to be defeated. I got to align with this other king, join together. I call for this man of God, and he hurts my feeling. Doesn't respond in the way I want him to respond. And he brings a musician, and we worship. He gives me a test, and the hand of the Lord moves, and we're weary, right? Remember, the problem was they're in a drought. They don't have any water for them or their animals. So the answer is go dig some ditches. Let me ask you this. I know the answer because you guys go to church here. But has anybody ever asked you to serve in a way or do something that you just thought, man, that doesn't make sense? Or I don't agree with that. And this is not a place where you don't have a say and you're just a man or a woman under authority and you don't have a voice here. That's not it at all. But a number of times, God has used people in my life that they have challenged or exhorted or corrected me, and at the time, it hurt my feeling. Or I didn't understand, or it didn't make sense. Now, how do you think this? We're weary. We don't have any water. We're tired. Okay, work harder. Go dig some ditches. And that's not my answer. You guys that showed up today and are already serving and are already weary, I'm not saying, hey, just work a little harder and it'll all be good. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 says, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy. Ministry means service, right? It's what we do. We are all called to ministry. Not just the ones that have an office in the church or are paid to be here, but we're all called to ministry. We're all called to service. And this verse says, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, I love that Paul ties our serving to mercy. We do not lose heart. New Living Translation says we don't give up. When we're in this fight and we're weary and maybe we feel like we're in a spiritual drought. Guys, that's part of this. This service comes as a result of worship. We don't want you serving here if you're not in worship with us. If you're not attending worship and you're not sitting under the teachings of your pastor or the people that are filling in. Tell me how that makes sense to anybody, that you would come to where God has called you to be a part of a family, to serve, and then you don't partake of any nourishment of your soul or any communion with what the Holy Spirit is doing with us as a group. You know, we don't want you serving up here on the worship team and then booking out the door or serving in children's ministry week after week after week without sitting and being fed. That's how this deal is. Our service is a response and a result of worship. And then we get filled up, and then the overflow that comes out of us, we pour out and serve others. It's not the other way around. So therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart, we don't give up, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. The way that we view our ministry, the way that we view our area of service, what God has entrusted to you will determine the entirety of the rest of your outlook. You guys that are parents, your first baby, do you remember what that was like? Everything sterilized. Nobody could touch anything. I mean, I go to visit new babies in the hospital and it's, could you put on a mask? And then by like your third or fourth child, everything changes, right? Your first child, you're like, you go to the police station and have them inspect your car seat and have them check everything. Third kid, it's like, they'd be cute as a hood ornament, you know? Yeah, throw them in the back. I don't want to throw any stones here, but when I was a kid, I was just on a crib mattress bouncing around the back seat, you know? Things change. Remember when you had your first opportunity to serve? How precious that was. You're making a cup of coffee and making sure there was a lid on it and all of those things that the warden requires back there. Some of you guys don't remember. Some of you guys weren't there, but when we met at the Y, And half of the stuff was at Jeremy's house, and half of the stuff was at our house, and we would just show up. And it was a mad scramble, and Dan would set up the board, and he'd clip this little fan to a metal pole so he'd be cool back there. And it was just, if we had time, we'd fold bulletins all together. And then with anticipation, we'd look down that hall and see if anyone's coming today. Or we'd go out to the lobby and look. We'd get so excited when somebody came in the parking lot and we knew they were coming to church. It was precious. You know, those early days. And then more amazing, people came back. Some days we'd get really excited. We'd see the whole hallway filled up with people and then realize there was a basketball tournament and they'd walk right by. But those things, I remember John Thomas standing there and there was a bulletin board and there's people had left staples in there. And he's pulling all the staples out because he wanted the place to look better than when we had showed up. And picking up trash and doing those things, it might not seem like a big deal, but guys, all of that sends a message. You know, when people come by here and they see the grass is mowed and it's cleaned up, they can take care of their building and their property. Maybe they can take care of me. Maybe they can take care of our kids. But when they see they neglect the things that the Lord's given to them. I mean, these guys in Sunday mornings are out here lining up the chairs with sticks because it's merciful that they've been given this ministry. It's merciful that they've been given this opportunity to serve the Lord. Without that perspective, without the right perspective, ministry will destroy you. It will crush you. It'll cause you to question why in the world you ever started serving in the first place. Why you responded to that bulletin announcement or that plea. I love that Paul ties ministry to mercy, that we get to do this. Think about the best days of your service. When you'd clean because you just wanted to bless people. You know, you'd notice something that nobody else noticed and you were thrilled that you got to do it. You know, we all talk about being different parts in the body. Some may seem like a more vital organ. Some are eyes, some are a hidden toe in a sock. And we feel insignificant. Anyone thinks toes and socks are insignificant, come on down here. If I stomp on it, you'll feel it. The whole body feels it, right? And that's what it's like when one of us is hurting. When we serve one another, we all benefit from each other's service. That I was able to go out last night with a deputy. When I was able to go out today to meet with a corrections officer that they were very concerned about. And I could do that because other guys came in here and set up. And Nicole cooked spaghetti. And the sound guys came in and Jim came in. I couldn't do any of that. None of the things that we do, guys, the language of ministry is always we. You know, it's not my ministry. The chaplaincy is not my ministry. Being a pastor here is not mine, and none of these are your ministries. It's, remember from Sunday, our Father. We're in this good fight together. We benefit from each other's service. We get served. We are the church. This is our church. We get served. Our relationships with one another grow. But without the right perspective, or serving God in our own strength, serving is a wicked burden. We're done. Discouragement sets in. Bitterness sets in. It's by God's mercy that we get to serve Him. And when our perspective changes on that, it's the beginning of the end. Because it's hard work, what we do. Again, I know I said it, but people in general are difficult. It's easy to grow weary. But even if you were to take a month off or take 6 months off, it's not about just getting more rest. It's about where we get our rest and how we get our rest. And then we're locking arms together. Being united together, in Amos it says, can two walk together unless you're agreed, unless we're in unity? You guys know on Sunday mornings why we have that awkward time in between worship and teaching. It's not just to boot kids out. To get coffee, right. Isn't that kind of awkward? No? You know, I've seen it be awkward for some people at different seasons of this church. I've seen new people come in and sit and no one talk to them. Is that a warning you set up or something? Wow. Getting technological. I've seen it be awkward for people. In most churches, you know, in that transition, it's, hey, go do this, say hi to somebody, hug a neck or whatever they do. But for us, it's like 10 minutes. You know, that is not just to move kids around. It's to allow you guys a chance to minister to one another. We've done it since the day we started. It's for you guys to check on the folks around you, to let them check on you, to be transparent in that, to pray for one another, to be the church, to welcome new people, to make them feel comfortable, to make them feel accepted, to be aware of needs. This past Sunday, I was up front speaking with somebody, and somebody else brought to my attention that there was somebody else standing in the back waiting, kind of half needed to come up for prayer. And they were aware of that need, and they went and they met that need. And we were able to minister to that person. So if we're not doing that right, that it is just really awkward time. So 2 Kings chapter 3, finishing this up. Verse 16, and he said, thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain, yet the valley shall be filled with water, so that you, your cattle, your animals may drink. Look at verse 18, and this is a simple matter in the sight of the Lord. It's a simple thing. It's an easy thing. This battle that we got going on, this fight, this whatever's keeping you from serving, it's a simple thing in the sight of the Lord. It's an easy thing. If you read that chapter, and I won't take the time to do it, but they get incredible victory, total victory. And we see that the digging of the ditches, that they did get filled with water, and it was proportional to what they did. If they dug out a little Dixie cup size hole, that's all they would have. That's all they had to retain this water. If they did an excavator, you know, dug a big, huge trench, that's what they got. It was proportional to what they did in their weariness. So digging ditches here represents a couple of different things. One, preparation for the future. And I think that's kind of where we are as a church, guys. God is saying to us, be ready for what I'm going to do. Be ready for what I'm about to do. See, he says here, this water, you shall not see the wind, you shall not see the rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water, so that you that are weary, you that don't have water, will drink. Your cattle and your animals may drink. We can't predict when God is going to do what he's going to do, but by digging ditches, that's preparation for being, we need to be ready for the future, ready for what he's going to do. The other thing it does, and this is what I've talked about, I love that I see some people writing notes. I've encouraged you to do that. Anytime you get an opportunity to go to a Bible study, small group, bring a notebook. Come with expectation that you're going to hear from God. So preparation and expectation. We serve and we do things expecting God to do something, expecting God to act. And have we lost that? That's another question I want to ask about serving. When we were down at the Y and we were waiting and people would show up and people would come back. You guys remember this past Easter when we gathered together with a couple other churches and we were just, we thought we knew what God might do. And we set out a certain number of chairs and he blew away all our expectations. And that place filled up. And a lot of us used to serve in that way, like, I get to do this, or I'm doing this, and God is going to do something amazing. I'm going to make this cup of coffee because they're going to be blessed by it, and they'll be able to be comfortable, and they'll hear the word, and I'm contributing to all of this. It's our perspective in serving, and sometimes it's just, oh, is today my day? Is this my month? How much longer do I have? We can't lose our expectation for God to act as a result of our preparation. So again, it doesn't mean we're just to work harder or to do more when we're weary, but it does mean not to quit, not to give up, but to press into him, to abide in him. In John 15:5, he says, "I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." You can try. You can try to serve in your own strength. You can try to serve to please man. I encourage you not to waste your time. It will crush you. Listen, one more verse. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work." Press into him, guys. He will give you the grace to continue to do what he's called you to do. But lock arms with one another. There's no independent agents here. And we are called to serve together as one body. And maybe you've served and maybe you've been burned out or maybe you messed up. Read Jeremiah 18. I won't do it now, but read it tonight. You guys remember that? With the potter and the clay, and he sees this work just is marred and he destroys it and uses that to make something beautiful. It's what he does with us. Yeah, might be more than a two-part service. We'll actually talk about service next week. Next week, we're going to get more practical. You know, what does this look like? How can I do this? What are my gifts? How can I discover what my gifts are? All of that. So please come back. Encourage others to join us. Let's pray.